Amen. The text from Leviticus tonight is just chapter 19, 1 through 3. Actually, we're going to be spending quite a bit of time in chapter 19 under this theme, fulfilling the righteousness of the law, which comes from a statement in Romans chapter 8, where in the New Testament, we're told that we are to be fulfilling the righteousness of the law. But we're going to be looking at segments of chapter 19 throughout a number of weeks where there are laws that are based upon righteous principles. And we're going to study about this matter of what God means by we in the New Testament, in the church, fulfilling the righteousness of the law without being legalistic and being under the curse of the law. So let me set this up. What do you do right after you take a bath? You put on dirty clothes or clean clothes? Well, if you put on dirty clothes, that kind of reduces the effect of the bath, doesn't it? So I would say you probably put on clean clothes. What do you do right after you've been washed by the blood of Christ? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." We're washed. We're clean. So do we continue in all of our sins, or do we seek to put on a clean lifestyle? Simply continuing in all our sins would diminish the effect of what Jesus did for us. So obviously, we would want to put on a clean lifestyle. Would you go over to Ephesians chapter 4? And obviously, we're not going to spend a lot of time in Leviticus tonight because I'm setting up this concept. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17, where it says, well, that's not right. Yeah, there we are. I got it. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." In other words, as Christians, we are not to live like an unsaved person. There should be a difference. Christian lives should not look identical to unsaved people. Verse 18 says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness." Lasciviousness means they have no regard for rules whatsoever. There is no restraint in their lives. Whatever. "To work all uncleanness with greediness." But notice what verse 20 says, "But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Now notice that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. The word "put off" means to lay aside, such as clothing. And then in verse 24, it says, "And that ye put on the new man." And this word "put on" actually was used by the Greeks to say, get dressed, put clothes on. So God uses the idea, the metaphor of changing clothes for what happens in the Christian life when we get saved. We take off the dirty clothes of the old man and we put on the clean clothes of the righteous man. And you have a list of verses here for the various statements throughout the Word of God regarding this matter of clothing. It's not something that is just used here in this passage. Job 29, verse 14, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. Psalm 132, verse 9, let thy priest be clothed with righteousness. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10, he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So it's a theme throughout the Word of God, this idea of using clothing as a metaphor for living a clean lifestyle characterized by the righteousness of God. Now, what we have looked at previously, the first 15 chapters in the book of Leviticus led up to chapter 16, the significant Day of Atonement. Remember the significance of that day. It was a day in which all sins were covered in one sacrifice, which was to illustrate how when the Messiah would come, he would take care of all sin once and for all. After chapter 16 comes a discussion regarding sanctification, which is the order in which things take place in the Christian life. Jesus saves us from our sins, and then as Christians, we are to be sanctified. And if you look in theology books, you'll find that there are three phases of sanctification. There is an initial sanctification when we are saved. The moment we're saved, we're set apart unto God. Then throughout our Christian lives, we are to constantly be doing what Ephesians chapter 4 said, put off the things of the old man and put on the things of the new man. And then there will be an ultimate sanctification when we are glorified. Now, some people in Christian circles believe you can be ultimately sanctified while you're here on earth. That's not biblical. It only happens when we are glorified. And that's at the time of the rapture resurrection event. But in the book of Leviticus, we have things in proper order. Everything leads up to the Day of Atonement, and following the Day of Atonement is a discussion on sanctification. And so we look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, where it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is why it's relevant for us to study the Old Testament, and particularly the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, because that's where the law comes from. 613 laws altogether, the Jews tell us. I have a list in my file someplace if you're interested in seeing that list. The law contains a lot of very specific rules for behavior. But those rules are based on righteous principles. Those righteous principles reflect what comes from the heart of God. And those righteous principles exist whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. God calls it here the righteousness of the law. Go over to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. It says here, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." So everyone who makes himself obligated to obey the law simply as a list of rules is under the curse of the law. When you commit yourself to the law, the overriding rule is you have to keep all of them. Let me say that again. When you commit yourself to obey the law, the overriding rule is you must obey all of them. James chapter 2 and verse 10. Anybody recognize that address? Have you memorized James chapter 2 verse 10? Put them on the spot. Offending how many points? You offended? No. You got it. You only have James chapter 2 and verse 10, "For whosoever keepeth the whole law and yet offend in one point," what are you guilty of? All of it. So if you're going to put yourself in a situation where you say, "I am going to obey the law as a list of rules," that's a big responsibility. Because no one can be made clean by keeping the works of the law. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Just back a page. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." But now there's this. There are actually two dimensions to the law. Now, let me explain this illustration on the screen here. It's a cartoon about the little boy Calvin. His mother says, "You're filthy, into the tub with you." And so he gets in the tub and says, "I obey the letter of the law, if not the spirit." And you notice in the next two frames that he got in the tub without water. Did she say anything about water? She said, "Get in the tub." What did he do? He got in the tub. Did he keep the letter of the law? Sure. But was there another dimension to what she was telling him? Oh, yes. She meant for him to put water and get soap and get clean. And when she says she needs to hear water running, he says, uh-oh. Romans chapter 7 and verse 6. Romans chapter 7, verse 6. "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." He makes a distinction between spirit and letter. Go over to Romans chapter 2 and verse 27. Romans chapter 2, verse 27. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. The letter of the law is what you do outwardly. The spirit of the law is what affects you inwardly. So, you can seek to obey the law simply as a list of rules and do all of the outward things, but never have a change of heart. That's a problem. And that was the problem with the Israelites. Go over to Romans chapter 9 and verse 30. No, this isn't listed in your notes. Romans chapter 9 and verse 30, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. They made no attempt to believe what they were doing. They simply believed in doing. Do you understand the difference? As long as I do, I'll be okay. But they didn't understand the reasons for doing. The reasons for doing were the righteousness of the law. They completely missed it. Jesus referred to the weightier matters of the law, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. He says to the Pharisees, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, which is something you do outwardly. You pay, you bring your tithes, you do something. And have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." Are those things something you do? Or is that something that takes place inside of you? Now he says, these ought ye to have done and not leave the other undone. But understand the reason you give the tithes. It's not the doing of it that is the significant part, but the reason you do it. So, in fulfilling the righteousness of the law, we do not insist on a legalistic adherence to the letter of the law. Romans chapter 7 and verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, and so we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit, and rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Is God pleased because we sing hymns? Careful. Have you ever sung a hymn and then never really noticed the words you were actually singing? It's easy to do. Did you ever read a page and get to the bottom of the page and not have any idea what you just read? Your eyes are registering on the words, but your mind is somewhere else. Same thing can happen. We can go through the motions of singing the hymns, but if it doesn't come from the heart, it doesn't please God. Instead of that, we pursue the spirit of the law, the weightier matters of the law, the righteous principles of the law upon which the law is based. Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. Did you know that? The law is spiritual. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's very different than a legalistic adherence to a list of rules. I understand the reason for the rules. And it has something to do with building character in my inner being. Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. What about my body? Oh, that's outward. With my mind, that's something different. That's part of your inner being. The flesh does the outward parts of the law, but the mind is part of the inward man that seeks to understand the principles behind the outward rules. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, that the righteousness of the law, not simply the law itself, but the righteous principles upon which the law is based might be fulfilled in us. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. We won't be there very long, but I want you to see Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's an overriding principle upon which the law is based. Why some of the specific rules? Because it has something to do with holiness. First Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. First Peter chapter 1, verse 10. of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written. Where is it written? Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2 in the Old Testament. Yeah. Isn't that in the law? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Notice, be, not do, be. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Number one, fear mother and father. Fear is a synonym for the word honor, as in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. This suggests that you're to show parents respect and stand in all of them. Number two, keep God's Sabbaths, which in effect is the same thing as showing respect to God and standing in or bowing in awe of him. This corresponds to the two great commandments. Remember what they are, the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Note what Jesus says about these two great laws, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So everything in the law can be categorized under one of those two major headings. Isn't that interesting? Everything in the law either has to do with showing respect to God or loving your neighbor as yourself. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. Not counting the ceremonial part of the law, and I'll make that point in a moment, the ceremonial part of the law would fall under the category of loving God because of his mercy in saving us, but regarding all of the legal and moral aspects of the law, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And it's right after this, Scripture makes the point of the difference between the flesh and the spirit, or the things one does outwardly versus what he becomes inwardly. So in Galatians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18, you have the start in verse 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, that is, the curse of the law. So notice the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. In verses 19 through 21, you have the works of the flesh. And there are, it's a list of nasty things. But in verses 22 and 23, you have the fruit of the Spirit. Which are things that the Holy Spirit develops within you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are things that the Holy Spirit develops within you. They bear fruit, which then you can use to impact other people. But first, you have to be impacted by this. He that loves another has fulfilled the righteousness of the law. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Isn't that interesting? So when we talk about fulfilling the righteousness of the law, it boils down to really a simple thing. Do the specific things you do, which are reflected by some of the specific law rules in the law, do you do them out of obligation, or do you do them because you love your neighbor? Romans 13 and verse 9. Romans 13 and verse 9. Notice he says, for thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now remember a little earlier I said that when it talks about all the laws fulfilled in one thing, love thy neighbor as thyself, it's talking about the legal and the moral aspects of the law. And notice what's listed here, commandments 6 through 10. But commandments 1 through 5 are not listed. And interestingly, honor thy father and mother is not listed. I think honoring thy father and thy mother can also be part of the law that falls under the category of loving God. Let me put it like this. If you're going to honor your father and your mother, what direction is that? Up or down? It's up. If you're going to honor God, which direction is that? Up. Now, if you are not facing up to honor your father and mother, how are you ever going to honor God? You're in the wrong direction. And so I think there's a reason that honoring father and mother in this case is included with honoring or loving God, because in order to love God, the first thing you have to do is be postured in the right direction. And the test for that is whether or not you honor your father and your mother. If you can't honor your father and your mother, I don't think you're capable of honoring God. James chapter 2 and verse 8. James chapter 2 and verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So, fulfilling the righteousness of the law has a lot to do with whether or not you love your neighbor as yourself. And when we look at some very specific laws in Leviticus chapter 19, that's what we're going to observe. How does this apply to loving your neighbor as yourself? The righteousness of the law implies that the rules God gave to Israel for legal and moral matters and human society were based upon divine principles that still apply to us today. When one keeps the rules just for the rules' sake, without understanding the divine principles upon which the rules are based, it results in an unprofitable attempt to gain merit based on your behavior. If I put on dirty clothes right after I have taken a bath, that doesn't show people that I'm clean. On the other hand, if I'm dirty and I put on clean clothes, that hides the fact that I'm not clean. If I am an unrepentant sinner, but I do a lot of good deeds, people might think I'm okay, but I'm not, because it's only an outward show. When one has been made clean by being washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he ought to desire an outward life that will not contradict the inward cleansing that has taken place. So if I've taken a bath and my body is clean, I ought to put on clean clothes. As Jesus said regarding the weightier matters of the law, it's not that you should not have done the tithing part. It's that you should have done both. In another place, he talked to the Pharisees about cleaning the outside of the cup while the inside of the cup is dirty. No, he says they should both be clean. The righteousness of the law is something I fulfill, not as an obligation or an attempt to gain merit from God. Rather, it is something I fulfill from my heart. As an expression of the change Christ has made in my life when he made me a new creature by making me born again. And so in the coming weeks, well, we have missionaries for the next 2 weeks, but after that, we'll spend some time looking at some specific laws that were rules that on the one hand you could obey simply for the obeying of it, or on the other hand could be an expression of how much you love your neighbor as yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this introduction to this most important subject that affects how we live our lives. Help us to understand the concept of the righteousness of the law. May our inward being be conformed to the righteousness of the law, so that when we interact with people, we can show them that we love them. And what we do is not an attempt to gain merit from God, but out of gratefulness for what Jesus has done for us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.